Welcome back to Mint and Matara's Summer Special.
Hi. Hi, darlings. Hello.
Are you going to introduce yourself?
I am Matara Khan. Sorry.
No, she's not.
I wanted to do another. I wanted to like use a fake name, but then I couldn't. I thought of like too many fake names at once, and then I couldn't decide on one.
Bintara Bond. James Bond.
No, it's Kantara Mon.
Oh, nice.
And who are you?
I'm Mint Phantom. Wait, ooh. I'm... No, I want a fake name. Fint Mantom.
Fint Mantom. Pow, pow, pow. Why do we both have man?
I don't know. Because we're manly.
I think that could be our like gender bent cosplay. Fintara Mantom and Mantara Khan.
Fintara Mantom. What is it?
Mantara Khan. What do you mean, what is it? Just flip the letters.
I don't know. My brain.
Your math isn't that good, huh?
Wait, Kantara Mon. I'm having a lot of trouble with this.
Oh, no, it's Kantara Mon.
See, you were wrong. You don't even know your own name. Welcome, everybody.
Welcome.
To the podcast.
To the episode.
What is it, episode 9?
The name is not clickbait, by the way. Are we burnt out? The difference between me and you.
Get a good reaction for the thumbnail.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hold on. Sad. Hold on.
Sad. Wait.
Oh, burnt out. Oh, burnt out. Oh, my God. Ah, burnt out.
The difference between you and me is that I will die on the treadmill.
Everybody really loved that you listened to those motivational motivational videos.
They motivate me. I don't know what to say. Really
now, guys, we're burnt out.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
No, just kidding. I just, you know, I think it's a really good thing to talk about because you and I go to conventions. And, you know, sometimes when you come back from a convention, some people get kind of like the convention blues where they get a little sad. And then other people get excited. And then sometimes when you're making content for a while, you just kind of get to a point where you think, what is going on? Because you get a little dip, right? And then you think, this is it. My life is over. I'll never make it. I'm the worst.
I've peaked. I can never peak again.
You're just the happiest. You're doing great. You're like, this is it. I'll never be happy again.
I don't know what comes with like creative burnout. You know, like how does that happen? I guess it's like when there's kind of like a lull in your like... in your creation?
Creativity, maybe?
Creativity, yeah.
Or also when you're kind of either in between projects. I think that's the biggest one. Where you just finish a big project and then you're done and you're like, oh. But then 2 days later, you're like, this is it. I'm never going to think of another project. I'm never going to make another project.
How will I recover from this? I will never make another project
I will
ever
never
again.
Creatively recover from this.
But when I'm like, it's actually true though. Whenever I make a project and it like finally happens and I'm just like, whoo, I just kind of sit and I'm like, you know, I've mentioned this before on stream. I'm never one to try and one up myself, but there is kind of an expectation.
Yeah.
I feel sometimes like at least to me, I think the fans are probably thinking, how will Mint do the next best thing, like the next great thing. Like how will she, like she did this thing. Now, how will she take it a step up for the next thing?
Yeah.
Like that's
so
how
the
I feel.
Fans are the problem is what you're saying.
Yes. You fans in my mind, you're the problem.
You make me too creative.
I have like 5 fans that I created in my mind and they're all saying like, they're just like, okay, Mint, come on. They're like tapping their foot on the ground. They're like,
when are you going to get your 1 million view cover, Mint, huh?
What am I going to get to cover it all? Oh, that hurts.
Yeah, you're welcome. I watched a really good TED Talk once, and it was about the lady that wrote Eat, Pray, Love, which, by the way, like huge seller, right? Huge popular book.
Everybody
and
knows.
She was done with Eat, Pray, Love, and people went, okay, so, you know, how are you going to top that? And she told them, hey, what do you, I wrote, you know, I wrote a once in a lifetime manuscript. Leave me alone. And this is where I'm kind of am with my content. Sorry to like, I'm doing what I'm doing. I am, you know, just living my best life. I am gliding. My wings are spread out and I am slowly gliding down. Leave me alone.
Right.
If the wind blows me back up, good. If it doesn't, mind your business.
Like, what if you create your magnum opus? You know, like, what are you supposed to do from there? Like,
Minecraft
is after-
part 17 was mine, by the way. And I'm happy with that.
I'm taking this personally. Right?
I don't need any more than that.
I think it's like kind of, you know, it's really just for me, just kind of trying to push creative boundaries is what I always try to do. But, you know, at the same time, sometimes it's just good to create even anything, even one thing.
I agree.
If it's just like I created a music video, I created a song cover. Mm-hmm. And to me, I'm proud of it. I like it.
Yeah.
Sure. It's not like the most amazing, spectacular, once in a lifetime, never been done before ever project.
Showstopping.
I'm like that Lady Gaga clip. Amazing. Yeah. Powerful. Never been done before.
One of a kind. Another Lady Gaga one I like is when she's like, bus, club, another club.
I've never seen that one.
She's basically talking about touring, but.
Oh. She's so iconic.
Me when I travel. Bus, another bus, no sleep, bus. Sorry, please continue.
True.
You're telling your fans to create things or just people, maybe not your fans necessarily, but just people to create things. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, today we're kind of going to get a little bit into like when you're burnt out, what do you do? It doesn't have to just be with like, you know, for us, obviously, we're going to relate more with content creation. Mm. But, you know, even with work in general or like after you go to a really fun vacation, a really fun event.
After you go to a convention.
Something. Yeah,
after you meet us at Off-Kai, you come home, you're going to be sad. And we want to help mitigate that.
We want to help you.
Yeah. I do think one of the reasons I really wanted to talk about it is whether it's streamers or not, I feel that there's this kind of weird expectation in content that as you go up, you always have to go up. And I don't know. And I see this sometimes because I watch a little bit of offline TV and things like that where people will talk about somebody, oh, they had 80,000 viewers during Among Us. Okay. Mm. And it's not Among Us or 2020 anymore. And thing, you know, things happen. People move on.
Yeah.
People do different things.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I do feel like it's kind of starting to shift a little bit in content, this idea, especially with MatPat retiring and other people retiring. But I still want to talk about it because I want to talk about it. I feel we do have a slightly older fan base and it's fun to talk about these things and just, hey, do you guys notice that? Do you ever notice how people are kind of always looking at milestones instead of just enjoying the moment? Because frankly, I know I made fun of it, but Minecraft time, like part 17 of Minecraft, I'm thriving. I know it doesn't look like that, but I am thriving.
I think the difference is just like, you know, there's like a middle ground between like being consistent and keeping with something that people like, you know, feel comfortable with. Because, you know, when people step, especially with content creators, when they step out of their normal content, like viewers can be like, whoa, this is not what I'm used to. Hey, I subscribed to you for part 17 of Minecraft. Waiting for part 18 of Minecraft. But, and then also like, you know, so being comfy and, comfortable and, consistent. That's the word I'm thinking of. Consistent. And also, you know, then having those like big projects and stuff like that. You know who I blame for like, you have to go bigger and better and bigger and better each time. You know who I blame?
Don't say Mr. Beast.
I was gonna say.
No, what if What if Jimmy watches this video?
You are on first name basis. Excuse me. There is a Mr. in his name. Dr. Beast.
What if Jimmy watches the video?
Jimmy, you smell, okay?
I think it was like this before Jimmy, though. I think it's been this way for a really, really long time.
I don't think so.
No?
Because you know who never did bigger and never did better and remained consistent and everybody loved it? Markiplier.
Well, that's the thing. He didn't do bigger and better, but caveat, because he's always been incredibly doing well and good. Do you remember a lot of YouTubers where you'll see comments of people being like, oh, why did they fall off? What happened? They're not getting 200,000 views like they used to 10 years ago. But right. I think Markiplier is an outlier in the sense that he actually does still get the videos, does still go viral, does still get the views. So
we're like talking about the most extreme cases of Markiplier and Mr. Beast. I'm wrong. You're wrong.
No, but I really want to talk about it because I feel it's, I've noticed, you know, I've been doing content for a long time, you too. And I just really wonder for people coming into content or even people watching and just in general, if you're ever working on any kind of creative project, it's okay to, can I use the word settle? I don't know what else I'm looking for. It's okay to float, right? I feel content and just a lot of work in general, it's whenever you get a creative idea, it's kind of like a wind. And all you got to do when that happens is just spread your wings, right? Like you spread your wings, the wind takes you up. And once that's done, you just keep your wings open and then you glide. And then you don't gotta, you don't gotta push, you don't gotta go. You just gotta, you know, part 17 of Minecraft, you keep going. And then eventually another wind comes and then you push your, you know, you work a little bit, you float your little wings to get on that other wind and then you float up again. And hey, I want to die gliding. Get rich or die gliding. Sorry, that was get rich or die trying.
I appreciate the attempt. It was there. There was an attempt. When I was actually speaking of conventions,
that
like
made
earlier,
me laugh a little too much. I'm sorry.
She's laughing at her own jokes. Oh my God. When I was at the convention, I was like really tired. And so I went to, oh, by the way, everybody, I went to Anime Central this past weekend and I made a surprise appearance at Ayami Sensei's panel and it was fun and silly. But there was one point I was really tired. And when I'm tired at cons, I just kind of go to a random panel and sit in the back and like just kind of, you know, vibe. And this one was like a voice acting panel.
Ooh.
And it was led by some actual, like, you know, big name voice actors in the industry. And
name every voice actor on that panel.
Mr. Man, Casey Schmacy, William Purple
Defoe.
Purple. No, wait. What's his name? A purple guy from FNAF. William Afton. Thank you, Matara.
you think I play FNAF?
Everybody knows FNAF names, though.
There's the rabbit. There's the chicken. There's
Chica?
The bear.
Freddy. Freddy. There's Five Nights at Freddy's.
And there's the fox.
Foxy.
Wait, what's the fox's name?
Foxy.
What's the rabbit's name?
Bonnie.
Damn. You're very Zoomer coded.
I like FNAF. I've watched almost all of MatPat's videos. Isn't that kind of crazy?
No, I get it.
Do you?
I'm sorry, but your actual reaction. No! It's Freddy! It's Five Nights at Freddy's!
The name of this game is Five Nights at Freddy's.
You know, I didn't finish the first one. I got too scared. I think I stopped at like night three.
It's a scary game.
It's jarring.
You know?
I can't.
It is.
It's too scary for me.
the thing that really got me into it was just like, I love subtle lore. That is like one of my favorite things. And like the lore of Five Nights at Freddy's, I mean, at this point, it's, you know, so gone off the rails.
It's
and
like it's 7 years of MatPat videos. Yeah.
It's so insane. But the first game was just so well done because like in the security cameras each night, like you would see posters that would say like missing children, blah, 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 blah. You would see like newspaper clippings about like what was going on.
Are you spoiling Five Nights at Freddy's for me?
No.
I'm not that far yet.
Play the game.
No, I'm kidding. Please keep going. Spoiler alert for Five Nights at Freddy's.
Oh, yeah. No, that is like actually, that is not a spoiler, though, that there's missing children and that there's newspaper clippings in the game. Oh, my God. She reads. Spoiler alert. But yeah, I don't know. I just really love that. I love when things are just not overtly in your face. Like, you know, with a lot of horror games, it's like I walk around, I pick up a piece of paper and it says, "Today I killed my wife and I felt alive." And I now and then you're like, "Oh God, it's another psychological horror game."
Oh, here we go
Silent
again.
Silent Hill 2 all over again, man.
Spoiler alert, because I haven't played Silent Hill 2 either. Can you stop spoiling games for me, please?
I didn't
you
even
said,
how
oh,
you know
today what? I killed my wife. It's
I
just
mean,
like Silent
different.
Hill 2.
No. I'm talking about how like Silent Hill 2 caused like this ripple effect of like psychological horror games, and then how so many of them will be
I get it. They overexplain everything, right? No. Previously, when we were talking, she just stopped talking and I just heard the as she was slurping.
She kept making it seem like she was like, "You made this horrible noise." You went
okay, I did not say horrible noise. I said you sounded really cute when you sipped and you went
all I did was this.
Okay, now that sounded worse because you were like
that sounded worse. And it was forced. That's so funny. But yeah,
listen,
anyway,
I'm just arguing for the sake of arguing because it's funny.
I know you are. I'm gonna punch you in the face. I swear.
Okay, you're gonna need to jump like a meter to punch me in the face.
Okay, then I'll punch you in your knees.
Yeah, that's a better idea. Punch me in my womb.
Oh, that hurts.
I know, but you want to hurt me, no? Otherwise, what's the point?
Hurt me more.
Hurt me. We'll have to try it next time I see you when you like just go straight with your punch.
Okay,
you might hear
me.
You might hit me in my genitals. What was that? Was that an excited or a
I was like a shocked. I don't know how to feel about that.
So don't punch me then.
Okay, I won't. I mean, you don't punch me, I don't punch you.
Well, I never said that. I never agreed to this.
Okay, then I guess we're just going to punch each other. I don't know what to tell you.
Mud, fight, bikini, mud, fight.
What were they saying before?
You were talking about Freddy Fazbear and sitting at the... When you were tired at a convention, you sit in the back of a voice acting panel and relax.
Yes.
And this one had Freddy Fazbear and... Yeah.
No, well, it didn't, but that's okay.
We did this whole patch.
No, it's because I was thinking of William Afton. You were okay. Saying, you said name every voice actor, and I was like, oh, William Afton.
So you were
the
at the back
bit,
of that.
We got lost in the sauce a little bit.
All the time. That's just what we do.
Back to burnout. Anyway, I was sitting back there, and someone asked.
Burning out.
Someone asked the guy a question. I wasn't really listening. Yeah, I was burning out in the back of the room. I'm just sitting there sizzling in the chair like.
Oh, thanks for laughing. So
people are like turning around like.
What's that sound? It's just you being like.
They're just smelling this smoke.
smells like burnt mint.
Ew.
So you're sizzling?
And, someone asked a question, which I didn't catch what the question was because I was too busy burning out. But the guy's response was just like, you know, build up. He was like, you know, you're going to, and this obviously applies to voice acting, but yeah. I think it can apply in other ways as well, where he's just like, you know, you're going to build up little by little. You're going to get little tiny roles. You're going to be background character B. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, eventually like there will, it like, how do I say this? Sorry. I'm not being very articulate.
You're doing
today.
Great, sweetie.
Thank you, Mom. need you at the spelling bee.
Where were you when I had my first dance recital? Why didn't you come?
He said, like, when the moment of luck happens, you just have to grab it and like, and then ride it. And that kind of goes with what you said. Like, you kind of grab the opportunity when you have a really creative opportunity. Mm-hmm. And then it's okay to just glide with it and like ride it as long as you can. Because I mean, for some, that's like all that they need. And that's all that, you know, that's good enough. Mm-hmm. So I think it's like just important. And I say this, and it's kind of hypocritical of me to say this because I don't follow my own advice.
Oh, keep going. I like this. Keep going. Keep going.
But it's just important to remember that, you know, you don't always have to be like brewing up the next huge thing. You don't always have to be like, okay, I did this thing. It was really great. Now I am going to one up it. How do I take a step?
Don't
how do
you
I
follow
go
your
further?
Own advice? What do you mean by that? So when you say you don't follow your own advice, how so?
Because after I do a project, I'm like, how do I one up this project?
Well, okay. Do you genuinely always say, how do I one up this project? Or for example, for me, right, I have like 10 projects in the chamber at any given time. Mm-hmm. And they're just 60% done, 40% done, 80% done. Mm-hmm. I guess the difference is I don't expect my projects to one up each other. Like my next outfit, I don't expect it to one up my last outfit. They're different.
Right.
They're going for a different vibe. They're doing different things. They're going to have a different thing with it, right? I'm not expecting to reinvent the wheel every time. Are you?
Right. I like I said earlier, I like to push things creatively. Mm. So, you know, rather for me, I feel
well,
so
this
much
explains
more fulfilled.
Why, you know, I don't know how to tell you this, but this explains the
the what?
Gotta take it easy, girl.
Like, you know, to me, there's like making a song cover and then there's like creating a full passion project out of a song cover. You know what I mean? Like, to me, if I'm like, I want to, you know, I don't know. Like, if I always want to, even if it doesn't like garner like the most views, even if it's just like, if it gets like, I don't know, whoever, nobody watches it. To me, like, I at least put forth more, like, more effort. And not to say that people that put out just, you know, a standard music, like video cover, like, don't put in effort, because it's a lot to coordinate and it's a lot to put together.
Yeah.
In and of itself. And so I think people that, you know, organize those types of projects for themselves or for groups are like, you know, it's really awesome and it's, you know, it's a lot of work. But for me, like, that is not satisfying enough for me. Like, obviously I put them out, but I'm always trying to think like, okay, now how can I take this one step further? How can I like turn it into a cover? You know, what if I want to like
make a lore with
extra,
it, have other
yeah,
stuff
like
with
an
it.
Extra element to it that makes it, pushes it a little bit further. So to me, that's what gives me the most satisfaction. And so that's what I'm always trying to strive for. But it's just not sustainable. It's really, especially as a VTuber, when our medium is kind of limited, because it's like I'm a 2D character in a screen. Like, you know, I can't do certain things at the current technology that I have. Mm-hmm. So, but, you know, it's something that it's why I think my burnout happens the most, because I'm just like, oh my God. Okay, I made this thing. Now, how do I do better?
Further? How do I, you know? I actually really want to build off of what you said, because I do believe a lot of our audience is trying to stream or is at least interested in content creation or is at least interested in creative endeavors, whether they are artists or whichever, something that I find very often, having been a much smaller creator, knowing a lot of creators who are bigger and smaller, I think it's important to do good ideas often, right? Like you gotta, creativity is one of those things where the more you use it, the more creative you get. You just kind of start seeing everything, I think, a little bit more creatively. You just kind of start, it's like humor, right? When, if you start looking for humor, everything becomes funny.
Yeah.
But, and I'm actually going to call out our timestamper Krub for this. Krub is so creative and he has these crazy ideas. And I very often tell him like, wait, your idea is really good. But the problem is you're going to work on this idea for 3 months. You're going to stream it. You're going to get 80 viewers. And it's amazing. 80 people watching your idea is incredible. But the amount of effort you put in is so, so big that then you're going to get burned out. Instead, may I recommend you tweak your idea so that it's a little bit more marketable, a little bit more creative. Maybe there's a reason that a lot of, you know, YouTube videos and stuff like that is collaborative. A lot of podcasts, a lot of this is, it's extra marketing. It's built-in marketing. And please, if you're listening, I'm not telling you, oh, don't be creative, dude. No, be creative. But I think instead of going 100% creativity, go 70% creativity and 30% marketing. I think one of the things that people kind of underestimate when it comes to these projects is a lot of marketing, is a lot of getting the word out, is a lot of getting seen by people. And again, as you and I know, there's a few, I'm sure as I say this, a few people say, well, what about this creator? Yes, yes. I know there's maybe one or two creators that stream twice a year and they're popular. That's awesome. Mm. But for the majority of people, that is not the case. You will have to keep consistently doing some kind of work, at least at a certain level or caliber. And I think that's the easiest way to keep doing it without burning out is just, you know, not going 100% every time. Because then you're going to be expecting from yourself 100% every time. And you can't do that. Oh, yeah. You can't do 100% every time, every week.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't. No, you can't. No, it's tough for me too. For example, this week I'm not streaming much and I feel really guilty. But at the same time, I have other stuff that needs to be done. Because streaming is just one facet of everything that I'm doing.
I know. It's really hard, the balance in that regard, because it's just like, obviously streaming is our main thing that we do
and it's my favorite thing. What about you?
Yeah, exactly, it's the best. I know, I really love it. And so it's just like, on days that I don't stream, I'm just like, what if I just sneak a little one in there, you know? But it's it's really hard to, I mean, that's just a kind of a maybe a work-life balance thing, but even sometimes other work interferes with the streaming. Like I'm just like, I have to plan this thing for this project or this thing for this event or this thing for whatever I'm conjuring up. And it's like,
we're going to be done with this podcast like 10 minutes before your stream.
Oh, you're right. Oh my God.
You know, there's a lot of things that interfere, or maybe you get another project. Maybe, you know, it's been announced now that you're going to be participating at a concert. Yeah. You got to rehearse. You got to pick songs. Maybe there's tech check. Maybe there's, you know, like, I don't know what goes into your concert, but it's a lot of work that you have to do. And if you sing and stream all day, plus we have the podcast, that's using your voice a lot in one day.
So, yeah, I think about that. I have thought about that with the podcast, how especially like today, for example, I'm going to be streaming Ghost Trick after this, which is a visual novel style game. So I'm talking every character. And so I'm just like, oh my goodness, I'm going to be talking nonstop for the podcast for like an hour and a half at least. And then streaming for like 3 hours, talking nonstop there too. I'm just like, oh, like, yeah, I think about that, especially because my throat has been kind of icky.
Next time you do one of those streams, have me read with you. I'll help.
Oh my God.
I'll voice a
There's
few of the voices.
There's a sexy lady in it. Ooh. Oh my God, you would have been perfect. She's blue. Yeah. She's a blue lady.
Let me know next time.
Okay.
I think it could be fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh my God, we're talking about voices and not my voice. Oh God. Oh God.
Honestly, I don't let people listen here, but I am constantly muting to clear my throat. I do it.
I heard it's all the time. Not good to clear your throat.
I know, but
I heard
I
it's actually
to.
Really bad for your throat.
I know. But my throat, I don't know what else to do.
It's what? Yeah, but back to the creative process though. I really do recommend if you are starting out, or maybe you're doing really good, but you're noticing, you know, since people do notice their numbers, their analytics, things like that. I once many, many years ago asked a really big streamer for their advice on this. And I talked to a lot of streamers about this, and they said, let's say you stream 8 hours a day and you're starting to notice everything's going down. Instead of continuing to stream 8 hours a day or streaming 10 hours a day, move it down to 6 or 7 and use that other 1 to 2 hours for research. Use that 1 to 2 hours to meet other people, network, to maybe come up with a better idea, right? Maybe come up with a new show, maybe come up with like, okay, now once a week I will do a collab with 4 people that I will organize. But instead of streaming 8 hours, now stream 7 and organize that. Because again, with streaming, it's so much fun and it's awesome. But you kind of need other things to be working in order to make it work.
Agreed.
And I think we can both agree here, and maybe others can too. When it comes to streaming, the really creative ideas is never what is actually profitable, I guess is the right word. Like I've had people ask me before how much money I've made from song covers. I'm like, baby, I don't know how to tell you this, but none. Actually, I have officially made money off of a song cover. Because I got, my Nikkei sponsorship.
Oh, that's true. Technically you have. Yes.
But every time I cover songs, for example, I covered a song for my debut. I covered a song for Christmas, things like that. Like that is not, I always see those projects as something for the fans, something to build the lore, something for them to have.
Almost every song cover also, which I don't think a lot of people realize, they get hit by the copyright.
Oh, instantly.
And so a lot of those, like even my karaoke streams, I did like an English karaoke stream, which did pretty well, I guess. And I can't monetize it.
She's being humble. I saw your clips go viral from your karaoke stream everywhere on my timeline.
I'm so...
She's being humble. It did okay, I guess. Yeah, I guess a few people saw it. I say that
because people might think like, oh, you know, she might be making good money from the views or whatever, but I don't make anything because it's been, the copyright is taking all the money. And also with song covers, every song cover I've ever put out, I've never made money on it. Even if it gets over 1 million views, even if I ask, if I'm like, please, I've rebutted this. Can I please? Nothing. So it's kind of, you know, but you know, that's just how it is with creative projects sometimes. And it's, you know, even for like, and despite that, I think to me, like, you know, I know that in my mind. So even if I'm spending money to produce it, it's just more of a creative, like I feel so fulfilled just doing something more creative and doing something like, I don't know. I'm very creatively motivated, I'd say. Project motivated. It's really fun.
I really feel that when it comes to creativity, once you start doing creative stuff, it becomes addictive. Like I said, I already have so many other projects in the chamber that I want to do because it's just, it becomes addictive. You just want to keep going.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
How do you know when you are burnt out?
How did you come up with that question?
Wow. Okay. Way to call me out. See, I was just going to, you know.
No, that was really, that was such an amazing segue.
Okay. Thanks. You know what? I don't want to do this podcast with you anymore. You know what? I don't want to do this. I'm leaving. You know what?
I'm so sorry. It was just really funny. I'm sorry. Come back.
Okay.
Okay. Beg. No, please. Could you? the question.
No.
That's
you
fine.
You can read it on the document where I read it from.
So let me just explain for anybody listening. We usually usually when we sit down together for the podcast, we'll write a few questions or a few kind of points of discussion so that we can pivot into them or stuff like that. And it's just funny because I didn't have to laugh, but it's just she read verbatim to me a phrase that I wrote.
Yeah, but how else am I supposed to ask
You did so good, Queen. You are so valid. It just...
I hate
I'm
you
in a
so much.
Goofy move. It's like when you do a group project with your friend and then you read out the answer and your friend's just looking at you like, it's our answer. It's our answer. Tell the teacher we wrote it.
Well, I was good. I asked you the question. I was going to answer after too. I was just, you know what? Never mind.
No, please. This is it. This is where the podcast ends. 9 episodes.
Oh my God. The girls are fighting. The girls are fighting.
The girls are fighting. I'm just laughing. For real though, can you repeat the question, please?
How do you know when you're burnt out?
You don't. No. I think burnout is a really big word and I used it. Haha. And it's a little clickbaity, but burnout is wild. Like I've been burned out before and you just don't want to do any work. It is so hard to motivate yourself. You don't want to look at your work, your computer, but I think a lot of times we don't take enough breaks. Genuinely, I think after you're done with one creative project, it's okay to kind of give it a little lull, right? When artists release CDs, they wait a little bit. They tour their CD and then they take a little break before writing their next CD. Yeah, maybe while they're on tour, they're writing some of the CD, but same thing with authors and books. They take a little bit of time. And I feel like it's the same thing where it's just recognizing if you're tired and letting yourself take a little bit of time off. In my case, though, I recognize it when I stop taking care of myself. That's my really, really big tell. When I have a really big skincare routine and I start skimping on it. I don't put lotion on my body after I shower. I shower not as often as I should be.
Stinky, stinky, stinky,
stinky, stinky.
Everyone point and say stinky.
Call me stinky, sniff, sniff, sniff. I don't work out. Which then leads to me not sleeping well, which then leads to me waking up late and being tired. It kind of becomes this like little cycle and then it leads to other things.
And it's a rut. It's hard to then get out of it.
And then you're in a rut. Like, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you're like, wait, I don't get it. How am I in a rut? I'm living the best life ever.
Well,
what about you?
I mean, are you?
I am. I think I'm living a pretty good life. What do you think?
No, I mean.
Hey, you've known me before and you know me now.
I think I put myself into not your shoes, but like a general person's shoes, you know, someone who they could possibly get burnt out because, you know, they are putting an effort at their job and like maybe their manager is not recognizing their work or they're wanting a promotion and
we
haven't
gotten
it. We
talked about bad managers last time, you know, didn't we?
Mm-hmm. Ugh. Yeah, we did. And I think this continues kind of a little bit from the job stuff. But not only do we want to just talk about burnout, but we kind of want to like help motivate you guys as well for, you know, anybody who's kind of in that situation. Mm-hmm. If you're just like, oh my gosh, I'm having such a poopy time at work lately. Like
honestly,
get out of the rut that I'm
sometimes
in.
Sometimes when I just feel that everything's really bad, I take a nap. It really helps. And if I don't want to take a nap, I go for a walk.
And you know what? If you're sad, just walk outside.
Listen. Go for a walk.
She's saying,
get
spicy
food.
Hear me out.
Go for a walk. Get some spicy food. Cry and then take a nap. It's going to make you feel better.
I think this goes for,
a little bit of a rut, not like, you know.
This is like a little bit of a rut. Like you're feeling like a little frustrated by work and stuff. We're not here to be like, you know, therapists and help cure of your ailments. But we are here to like, you know, help you out maybe a little bit. Maybe. I don't know. Who knows?
What about yourself? How do you recognize if you're burned out? How do you kind of start? Because I think with burnout, the biggest thing, sorry, I asked you a question, but is just recognizing before you get burned out, I think is the important thing. Is like, if you are noticing that you're getting into a rut, how do you get yourself out? And oh my God, I asked you a question, but I actually have something to add. So,
okay.
I start noticing it. It's true. When I'll just feel a little sad sometimes. And there's no reason for me to feel sad. So I'm like, okay, let me be sad today. I don't push it back another day. I'm not like, okay, I'll be sad tomorrow. I'll be sad next week, because then it comes back worse, you know? So just kind of starting to recognize like, oh, why am I feeling sad? Why am I feeling tired? It could just be a random thing, or something's on the horizon. Something's a brewing.
I think that's my biggest thing is just like, I just end up feeling very, I think I end up feeling sensitive to most things, like a comment that wouldn't usually get me.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Totally gets under my skin. Yeah. And I'm just like, oh my God, why? If they said that, other people must think that. And then this and that. And even if they were joking or something, even though I'm like, oh my God. And it just kind of eats away at me. So that, and then kind of similar to you, like I don't stop my skincare. You know what?
Really?
I think about it.
Do you like lower it? Because for me, for example, I have a really long skincare routine, and then I just make it like 4 steps instead of, eight. Or I'll do just the bare minimum, you know?
Yeah. I think the biggest thing for me is it's hard to want to do anything. I'm the type of person that if things feel so overwhelming, like if things feel so like, I can't get this right. I can't think of any ideas. I can't do whatever. Like, I just push off everything. And I'm the type of person to, when everything is wrong or when I have to do everything, I do nothing. Like, I just break down and I'm like, and it's strange because there are times when I have so much to do. Mm-hmm. And that's how I know currently I'm not in burnout, because I have so many people to respond to. I have so many emails. I have so many messages. I'm like coordinating art. I'm coordinating background.
Yeah, you
I'm
have been.
This and that.
Our postcards, by the way, they're looking amazing. Oh,
yeah.
I'm so excited.
Me too. But yeah, so I've been doing all of this stuff like excited to do it. I'm like, we're planning our trip to Japan. I'm excited. I'm like, all right, what day are we doing this? What day are we doing that? Blah, blah, blah. Like, it's just, it feels good. Instead, so I'm like, I'm busy and I'm enjoying it, which is how I know
you like
I'm
the
not,
busy.
Yeah, I know I'm not in burnout, and I'm like kind of scared of, of if it happens. I think also a big part of burnout, and this is not just related to us, I think this can be related to anybody's job, is just constant rejection.
Can you elaborate?
So again, if you're at your job and you're just like, I came up with this proposal for my boss for this idea, you pitch it, no. Okay.
Yeah.
You have to, like, for some people, that can be really motivating to be like, okay, I got turned down, you know, that's okay. I'll just rewrite it. I'll rework it. I'll do this, you know, but at some point, like, it is really, anybody is going to break down from, consistent amount of rejection. And so it's just like, I think that can be really demotivating, and, it can be really hard to escape from that, especially if you were really attached to an idea. And
you think it's a great, and maybe it is a great idea. Maybe it truly is a really great idea, and it sucks that you're not getting the opportunity to do it.
Yeah, exactly. So I think a lot of people, not just us, a lot of people can really relate to that. So
I want to touch on a few things that you talked about. You talked about how right now you're doing projects and you're excited. I think sometimes it's important to notice, because sometimes it's the opposite, where you have a lot of projects to do and you're dreading them.
Oh yeah.
That's when you have to be like, okay, what is going on? Let, you know, should I maybe take the afternoon off, but I have to come back tomorrow and then the pile's going to get bigger. How are we going to deal with this? Reach out for help. Sometimes when I really, really struggle with getting things together, I call friends or I make my assistant, just my assistant, they'll play, what is it called? Like those dating visual novels. And I just make them sit in a call with me while I work. And I share my screen to them. They're not looking, I don't think. But to me, it just helps me kind of, okay, I have to do this, you know?
Yeah.
So you kind of need to know yourself. You kind of need to recognize, just start looking at your patterns, start looking at how you do things. I think a lot of times we think people who achieve so much in life are superhuman. They're not. They just kind of know how to trick themselves. I feel like being an adult is just tricking yourself to doing the things that you don't really want to do, but you gotta do, right?
It's true. Yeah, I know. Like, that is very true, because even recently I've been like, you know, I haven't been wanting to schedule that doctor's appointment, but I went to the doctor's today.
Mm-hmm. Good girl.
I know. Well, you did too, though, did you?
Yeah.
Yay!
We're
so responsible.
Well, my doctor is a dentist, but yeah, that counts.
Oh, that counts.
That counts. Go on.
Yeah, but yeah,
look at us. Who would have thought? Did you book it or did you make your
parental book? I went.
You went. Wow.
Wait, when's the last? I don't know the last.
I always book all my stuff. I know there's like a lot of adults now who are like, my mom books things for me, and I'm like, no, I book my own stuff. That's how I know I'm a real adult.
I was really dreading this one too, because I was like, I don't know how to say it. I was going in about
then
something
sing
that
it. I'm sorry.
I was going to ask them about something that I didn't want to talk about.
That was such a, you know, they always do that in movies, right? I don't know how to say it. Sing it then. Sing it to us.
Oh my gosh. What is it? They said that I shouldn't say this, but they didn't say that I couldn't sing it.
That's good. That's oh wait. Yeah. Oh, toxic gossip train, right? Is that where it's from?
I think so, yeah. Oh, yes. I was like, where have I heard that before? Yes, you're right.
Oh my
god. Yep. So sing your problems, everybody. Oh god.
What was it? Anyway. I'm proud of you, and you did it, and it's good that you did.
Oh my god. The worst part though was I went and I spent the money for them to tell me to go to another doctor. I hate that. So then I tried to make another appointment and they didn't pick up, and I gave up for today.
Hey, you did your best. I did your best. And it didn't work. So never keep doing your best ever
never
again.
Never try again.
Honestly, like, never try again. It just isn't worth it. Never, ever worth it.
Never.
No. It will Everybody never be worth up. It. Just give up.
Give up.
Don't, life
it's
is pain.
Not worth the effort.
Dayo.
Know.
Dayo. Give up.
Dayo.
Give up, Dayo.
Give up, Dayo. I need a voice clip of Henya saying that.
That actually is a really good one. Give up, Dayo. Go back to sleep. Be hikikomori forever.
That is so her. That is like, that is definitely something she would say.
Another thing I wanted to touch up on while you were talking. Hold on. I'm trying to remember what I should have written down on a piece of paper, the stuff you were saying. You mentioned how you're doing project and it's getting you excited. What else did you mention? I forgot.
Okay.
Was going to elaborate on. But it's okay. There's this Russian saying where it's like, if it's important, you'll remember before your wedding day.
Oh, yeah. You've told me that before.
Yeah. And
I think that one's so cute.
Isn't it?
I think it's really cute. Yeah,
isn't
it's a
really
it? Cute saying.
So, huh.
I guess never then.
Don't tell them. Don't tell them my secrets. No, it's fine. My secret husband is out there right now. He could be watching.
Right now.
He could
someone's
be watching.
Someone's in the chat. Someone's probably like going to comment. Yeah, and it's me.
By the way, Matara's fifth secret husband here from the future. I know that four of her previous secret husbands died under mysterious circumstances, but I am different.
Oh, you're the tough cookie. You're the one that will
not be cannibalized. Thank you very much.
Yeah. You'll live inside her tummy forever.
Oh. No, just like you're supposed to say you won't live. Well, Pinocchio got out of the whale. No, is that a spoiler? Am I spoiling Pinocchio?
Why? Am I spoiling this hundreds-year-old story?
Okay. I don't want to do any Pinocchio spoilers.
He's a puppet. He's a little...
Stop! I thought he was a real boy.
I'm a real boy.
That's from Shrek, no? Doesn't that like how he sounds in Shrek? Why are you laughing?
What do you mean Shrek?
That's what the Pinocchio sounds like in Shrek, no?
I have no idea.
I also haven't seen Shrek in years. Can somebody let us know if the Pinocchio in Shrek sounds like that? Like, I'm a real boy. Because I don't think he sounds like that in the previous stuff.
What do you mean? In like the Disney adaptation?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think he sounds like a child in the...
I don't know how to tell you this. It's because he is a child. I know. Shocking.
He's a boy. He's a real boy.
Well, eventually. Spoiler.
Spoiler alert.
How does Pinocchio end? Wait. How does Pinocchio actually end? Spoiler alert.
I think the fairy that turned him into a sentient puppet also turns him into a real boy, because of course she couldn't just do that from the beginning. She had to torture him a little bit. Like,
it's a fairy? I thought he just like kind of got created.
No, he got built by Geppetto, and then a fairy turns him into a sentient puppet.
I just realized I had my stories wrong.
What are you thinking of?
I was thinking like Pinocchio at night when Geppetto was sleeping was like making little shoes.
What?
I think that's another story.
Where's the shoes?
Pinocchio has the long nose.
Yes. When he
and
lies,
he didn't make little shoes at night. I'm thinking of a story where like these little like, I guess fairies just make shoes at night while a carpenter sleeps. And then when he wakes up in the morning, they just keep making shoes. And then he like asks for too much, and then they just stop making shoes for him.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about.
I don't know the story. I don't know the name of the story, though, but I know what you're talking about.
But it is. I'm not crazy. Well, sometimes. Like, you know this. It's a story.
Yes, it is a story.
It is a story. Right. Okay. I'm so sorry, everybody. My childhood, my flesh woman's childhood was so long ago.
Wait, you know what's so crazy? It's so fun. If we actually go to Tokyo Disney, the Pinocchio ride in that park is so whack. Because I think in the English ones, in the American parks, from what my friend told me at least, they slowed the ride down. But for Tokyo Disney Pinocchio, they did not slow the ride down. So that ride is like, it's like... Oh, here comes the guy that's offering you cigarettes. Okay, he's gone now. Okay, now you're turning into... Oh, you're getting eaten by the whale. Okay, now it's over. Like, it's so like... It's so funny. When I went on it last, I was just like, if I had never seen Pinocchio before, I would be so confused. I would be like, what did I just witness?
it's just so jarring.
It's so jarring and so fast. It's just like, okay, you see a guy, now you don't. Okay, you see, I think, what is it? There's like the fox that like takes them and kidnaps the children, turns them into donkeys.
I don't remember. In Pinocchio?
Yes.
Man, I might have to read Pinocchio before I go to Tokyo Disney.
He's like, you see the fox, now you don't. You see a donkey, now you don't. You see the whale, now you don't. Okay, it's over.
I really want to go to Tokyo Disney. I want to see this now. I want to experience.
The Snow White ride is kind of similar, but it's terrifying.
Why?
It's even scary. Because, like, you know, Snow White is like, you know, she's hanging out with the dwarves, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. That is not the ride. The ride is like, first you go through the castle. And I remember this also vividly because I went on it not too long ago. Mm-hmm. It was like, I don't know, last year or something. But you go on it and it's like, first you're in the evil witch's castle. So it's okay. Really, there's like skeletons and Ooh. Dead bodies and Ooh. Stuff. And then you go into the haunted woods
children.
Immediately.
Oh
yes,
my God.
This is for
oh my
children.
God.
You go through the haunted woods and the trees are all scary. And it's the same as Pinocchio where you're just like whiplashed through this haunted woods. And you're just like, whoa, I'm going to die here for real. And then it's over. And then you see the witch, like, you know how they throw her over the cliff or whatever. You see her like on the side of the cliff and then it's over. And you're just like, what happened?
That feels a little creepy.
It was very creepy. It's very creepy.
Are the children not freaked out by that?
No, I mean, they are. Okay, do you have a childhood ride that you've
ever been on? I thought you were going to say, do I have a child?
Oh, I thought you were going to say childhood. all of our brains are just everywhere. Do you have a child?
No.
Okay.
But go on.
Do you have a childhood?
Grew up very fast, my flesh woman. So sort of. I think that's why now I'm like reliving it, to be honest. Well, that's trauma for another day.
Sure. Do you have a childhood ride that scared you as a child?
I mean, all haunted houses still scare me as an adult, and I avoid them. Why are you laughing? It's my trauma. You can't laugh at my trauma. Cancel her. She's making fun of my trauma. Stop laughing harder. Stop. Damn, okay.
Okay, so haunted houses, like just any haunted house?
Yeah.
But those are meant to scare you. Are there any rides that like you didn't expect would scare you that scared you?
Nah, I'd win.
Okay. Wow, she's built different, everybody.
Wait, now you really got me stumped on it. But I also, I don't want to like, I feel bad if there's dead air in the podcast. But can I think for a minute? Editor,
sure.
Please edit the dead air out.
It's okay. While you think, I'll explain something.
Yeah.
You don't have to listen to the story.
I want to listen to the story.
Oh, well, it's
listening
not really a story.
To you, yeah.
It's not really a story, but like a ride that I think of that I think a lot of people have a strange trauma with, a childhood trauma, is the Bug's Life ride at Disney Animal Kingdom, where like the grasshoppers, it's like a 3D experience, and like the grasshoppers are like flying at you and they're like vroom, vroom, vroom. And then they spray bug spray. The ride is just like, oh, by the way, we're turning you into bugs. Ha ha ha. And then they try to kill you. Then they spray bug spray at you and convince you that you're going to die. And then at the end of the ride, oh my God, this is the part I think about the most. Oh my God. I'm going to throw up just thinking about it. I'd say it's a ride. I guess it's more like
a punishment,
a torture. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. When you're sitting and you're like, okay, everybody, it's time to go. You feel bugs underneath your seat.
Wait.
Crawling by.
What?
Yes. Yes.
What?
There's like some little mechanic underneath the seat that like pushes up. So it feels like there's a bug under your butt.
I'm sorry for my language. That's fucked up. I try not to swear, but like I'm swearing. That's fucked up. That's messed up.
Awful. It's so awful. And you hear the little bugs being like, oops, excuse me. Huh? Gotta get out of here. And you're like, I just want to die thinking about it. Oh my God. I can't. Oh God.
I think it's because my flesh woman didn't go to amusement parks till she was an adult. That's why I don't have any of these memories.
Okay. You know, that's totally valid.
Because I'm genuinely trying to think, like, yeah, that kind of thing would have probably freaked me out. Yeah. I remember being freaked out by media, like James and the Giant Peach, things like that.
Yes,
like,
yes,
I remember
yes,
being
yes,
freaked
yes.
out by media, but I don't remember like being freaked out by a ride, because I don't remember going on a ride before, like, I'd say, like, you know, late teens.
To be fair, it is a very privileged question, you know, because like you said, not everybody has had the experience to go to rides as a child. So, you know.
But I also might be misremembering. I feel like I feel like I know myself pretty well, and I don't do things that I don't like. And at one point I went through a little phase in my life where I was like, I gotta get out of my comfort zone and do more. And then I did it, and I played Outlast a few times, and I'm like, I'm done. No more comfort zone. Nothing is comforting, and I'm good. And anybody who like demands that I do this, screw them too. You know?
You know what? You tried, so.
But honestly, I should have just not tried. I knew I wasn't gonna like it. Why did I even try?
Fair.
Thank you.
Fair.
I don't know where I was going with this.
Oh, oops. Sorry. I just realized. Yeah. Sorry to the editor. You can edit this out. I just realized I had my noise gate on this whole time.
Oh.
It's okay.
Today, we're on tangent day. I like, for once, it's not me setting us on all the tangents. It's you.
I think I just really, we always go back to amusement parks. I think it's my fault.
What we love. We know what we love. And what we love is what we love. And we love what we love what we love.
We love what we love what we love.
We love what we love what we love. Yeah. And it's amusement parks. And
it's so true. God, maids. I love amusement parks.
And, yeah! And food. And in my case, drinks.
Drinks.
Where were we? We were talking about burnout. How do we go from burnout to amusement parks? Oh, maybe it was because I said recognizing when you need like half a day or what?
Well, we got on the Pinocchio tangent.
There we go.
And then I was just like, oh yeah, the Pinocchio ride is kind of crazy. Whoopsie.
I think it's just really important to recognize. I don't know if I'm jumping back in the right place in our story, but I think it's just really important to recognize when you are kind of getting tired. It's the same thing with working out, right? If you're working out a lot and you start getting tired and your muscles start hurting, recognize that. Take a little break. Just kind of recognizing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People don't realize the importance, or realize enough, I think, sometimes how, you know, especially when you're on that grind set, when you're just like, go, next thing, just how important it is to take a break and like be like, okay, I'm not going to sit on my computer. I'm not going to touch my computer for the next couple of days. Like, I'm not going to think about a project for this week. Mm-hmm. You know, like, having a mental refresh is just so important. It's so important.
And I want to go into a tangent a little bit about conventions, because when I was a little bit younger and I would go on conventions, I would then come back home and I would have this kind of sad feeling. And I think, oh, I miss my friends. I just saw especially back then, like a lot of my non-online friends didn't really play games. So the only people I'd go to PAX and I'd be with gamers and we could talk about games and anime. Wow. You know?
Yeah.
And then I'd come home and I was like, man, nobody talks about anime with me. Nobody does this stuff. And I'd get sad. But now when I go to conventions and I meet so many like-minded people and I hear what everyone's kind of cooking and I see what everyone's up to, it makes me excited. I'm like, oh my God, I want to go home and I want to cook and I want to do my stuff. I have a project. Ooh, I want to get working on this. I want to get working on that. How do you feel after your convention? Same?
I think in the past, it was very much like a post-convention blues kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, because especially being surrounded by that energy. Like, there's nothing else like it, like, than being just at a con and, like, you know, it's such a busy time. There's just so much noise. There's so many people. There's so much to see, because there's all the cosplayers, there's all the panels, there's all the concerts, there's this and that. Like, it's a lot. And
you can make friends, like we talked about before, right? You just talk to somebody in line and then they adopt you and now you got a little pal group.
Exactly. And so I wouldn't say, you know, I just got back from the convention. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say I have a post-convention blues.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's because I love what I do. And so for me to get back home and continue doing what I am doing, like, especially right now, because I am working on a bunch of things, like, I usually am never like, come on, time, go, go, go. Like, but right now I'm kind of like, all right, do this thing, on to the next. Do this thing, on to the next. Because I'm like, I just want to push forward and get my projects done and move forward with stuff.
Especially before Japan for us, right? The more projects you get done now, the easier it is going to be in Japan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And so I'm just like, go, go, go. But, like when I would go, when I hated my jobs and I would go to a con and I would come back, I was so sad afterwards, especially because for me too, it was a lot of planning to work up to the con. You're getting your hotels, you're getting your plane or whatever, your transportation.
You're checking the schedule, right? Who's performing when? Who's,
It felt like a sense of purpose, you know, like I was making a costume. I was, preparing the schedule, preparing this. And then afterwards, when it's all like just kind of, it feels like a whiplash and like a whirlwind, and you're like, okay, it's all done so quickly. And you're like, wow, all that work, and I did it, and you know, and it was so fun, and now what do I have to look forward to, you know? So that's another thing I think is really important also to avoid burnout, is, you know, keeping yourself busy by having things that you look forward to. And I think that's kind of also what we did with this podcast, having the lists, like your not bucket list, your summer things you want to do, your summer list. It's kind of like helping you avoid burnout by creating something, a physical, like visible thing that you are able to see and say, I want to do these things, and keep looking forward to them each time throughout the summer.
So. That's so good that you added that, because that's actually something that I forgot to mention, but every time I get a little bit down in my week or anything, I try to plan something for the Friday or the Thursday. Let's say it's Monday and I'm feeling it, or maybe even a Wednesday. And then I have something to look forward to. I'm like, you know what? On Friday, I'm going to meet with my girlfriend and we are going to go to this restaurant we've been wanting to try, and we are going to yap. And she's going to tell me about her problems, and none of my problems matter because, you know, what am I going to talk about? Like, oh, I'm feeling a little bit creatively burned out. Well, do something else. Yeah, you're right. But hearing about other people's problems, I'm like, oh, man. My life is good.
Oh my God. Wow. It sucks to be that person over there.
No, sometimes when I have friends are like, is it okay if I tell you about my stuff? I'm sorry. I'm like, please. Like, I am here to listen. I am here to listen. I love it. Don't worry. You're absolutely right. Just looking forward to doing something.
Yeah. It can even be like an anime that you're watching. You know, you don't have to go out. Weekly anime. Yeah. It can really just be the smallest thing, but have something to look forward to.
A weekly podcast that goes live every Monday at 3 p.m. EST.
Get yourself a weekly podcast, everybody.
That you get to watch every single week. And now you have something to look forward to on those Monday blues.
Woo-hoo! Monday blues.
Oh my God, we are silly goofy today. I love this. I love this energy. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Just looking forward to, and you know, this is why we wanted you guys to have your list done. See, everything kind of builds into each other, but it's just so easy to let things slip by. You know, we're working so much, or you tell yourself, I want to write a book, for example. And I'm sorry, I hate to be that person to let you know this. You gotta like the process, right? You gotta enjoy sitting in your little coffee shop with your little iPad, typing up your little book. And no, some days it's gonna feel more like work than others, but if you don't enjoy the process of it, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's not true.
And this is for creative jobs. It's completely fine if you have a job, you're like, Matara, I just clock in, get my money, clock out.
Oh, hell yeah.
Absolutely fine. Do you, baby. Okay.
But I still think that, you know, it's very important to still have something to look forward to, even if you're just like, you know, outside of your job as well, because you can't just live by your job. That's why when people don't have hobbies, I'm like, what do you do? Like, what, like, my mom doesn't really have a hobby. And I'm like, what are you doing?
Does she watch like YouTube every day?
No.
Huh. You should talk to her.
Like sometimes she'll like, you know, be like,
what do you do? What did you do today in detail?
Well, she like works and like, that's kind of it. And I'm like, okay, but like, and like sometimes she'll garden, but.
Gardening does take a long time though.
It does. It does.
If you, yeah.
But there's just some people that like really don't have, you know, interests or hobbies. Like, you know, you can watch like, for example, someone who just like watches Netflix all the time. And I'm like, that's technically a hobby, I guess. Like, you enjoy watching something, but I don't know. I just feel, am I shaming their hobby? Maybe?
Be honest with me. Be honest with me right now.
Okay.
Lately, my hobby has been walking my demons. So I go for a walk in the sun.
Okay.
And I just walk and think about life, or I listen to music. I'm re-listening to old albums that I haven't listened to in years. Like I'll just, for example, the other day I put on an album called Sometimes by City and Color. It's an album from 2003. And I went on a walk and I listened the full thing. I listened. When was the last time you listened to an album like all the way through? Right. Just because I remember watching something and somebody was like, what's your favorite album? And I caught myself thinking, I don't know. I don't know if I could just name off albums that I really like off of the top of my head. Also, I can say I like an album. When's the last time I listened to it? What do you think about that? Is that an okay hobby? Be honest. You can judge me.
Hold on. I'm typing my waiting room. I just got a notification on my phone that was just like, that was like, your stream is in 30 minutes.
We're almost done.
Yeah, no worries. Can I rephrase my thing?
Yeah.
What I said earlier. I want to rephrase in that I think, you know, I kind of was just like, oh, people who only watch Netflix, what are you doing? What is my mom doing or whatever? Like she gardens sometimes. I think it's important to have multiple hobbies, but don't spread yourself thin. You know, like I think it's important to kind of put yourself out there because, you know, what if you get, let's say you crochet.
Mm-hmm.
And one day you've crocheted so many things, you're like, oh my gosh, I can't crochet anything any longer. Like it's good to have multiple hobbies because you're like, I watch so many VTubers. I love VTubers. I love interacting with VTubers. I love this. But when one day you watch one too many streams and you're like, I can't watch another stream. I can't do it. Like I'm burnt out of watching these streams. I'm burnt out of VTubers. Like it's important to kind of, you know, have another hobby to divert to. If it's like video games, if it's, you know, putting together keyboards, if it's walking and listening to a whole album, you know, anything like that. I think it's just really important to have multiple hobbies. I think that's kind of what I wanted to emphasize rather than just being like, have a hobby.
Yeah. Also, maybe I'm misunderstanding, but basically from the start, when you started this tangent, you said, I have a hard time talking to people who don't have like a lot of hobbies. Is it just also because, let's say if somebody only has one hobby, right? And it's VTubers. And you don't really know much about VTubers. Then it's going to be hard to have a conversation about that, right?
Yeah,
or if all they do is just crochet. Like, yeah, it's fine. They can show you what they crochet. They can do a little bit. But then the conversation kind of ends, right? So I think also that's, you know, she's not saying, obviously, have whatever hobby you want. If you watch a lot of Netflix, you got a lot of stuff to talk about.
Oh, yeah. I think... For what you're saying and me saying like it's hard to people to talk without hobbies, I think it's just like I am interested in learning about what people are interested in. So if someone is like, I do beekeeping as a hobby, I don't beekeep. I know nothing about beekeeping. But if someone's just like, this is how, but you know, I'm curious about it. If someone's just like, this is how I beekeep, this is this, like I'll ask questions, you know, like if someone's like, my hobby is polishing rocks.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
How do you find the rocks to polish? Like I've always like, how do you know what's a good rock? Like, you know, I can kind of like create a conversation because of that. But if it's just like, oh, I don't do anything, you know, it's what do you, okay, then I think probably the hardest thing I would have to talk to people about is sports. If their hobby is sports, then you know what? Maybe I'll check out.
It's like, wow, the sports, huh? I love those. Yeah.
Ball, kickball, throwball.
I love the kickball. And the handball. Wow.
Handball. Oh my gosh. Mm. I did so much handball yesterday. My hands are sore.
Okay, for a second I believed you. I was like, wait, what? Ooh, what? For a second, it's, you know, if you had said badminton, I would have believed you.
Really?
Yeah. Badminton is like the national nerd sport. That and ping pong.
It is?
Yeah. That badminton, ping pong, DDR.
Oh,
if you're a guy in tech, you're doing all three and rock climbing.
I used to play tennis.
Any guys in tech right here, right now, say which one? DDR, rock climbing, badminton, ping pong. Oh, and I guess tennis, let's add it.
Okay.
And you played tennis?
Mm-hmm.
Were you
And I did good? DDR.
And I do DDR.
I do the DDR.
I played a lot of badminton.
Really?
Actually, when I buy like a forever home, I want to import DDR machines. Wow. I want to actually get like a DDR machine, a bunch of like dance, whatever it is, like Stepmania,
Because
I was always too shy when I was younger to like do them to improve in front of everybody.
I'm actually looking to get one. So
no way.
Yeah.
I have a contact in Canada, so I don't know if I could like help you with contacts in the States, but if ever I could let you know.
No, I have a contact in the States. So.
But do you know what I mean? Like I've never gotten the chance to practice because I was always too embarrassed to do it in front of everybody at the arcade. But I want to just one day show up somewhere and just, you know, be really good.
Also,
it's great exercise and it's fun.
Yeah, I always use like the crappy soft mats at home. So, but it's really fun.
Do you know which machine you want to get?
I'll tell you.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. Cool. Yeah. Oh my God. Stop copying me.
What the hell?
Yeah. I brought it up first.
I have gaming cabinets already.
You are stinky.
You stinky, no shower.
Find a new hobby.
I have five hobbies.
Actually, you have so many hobbies. I don't understand how you get so much stuff done in a day. Seriously.
I kind of get nervous about it because like I don't want to say I have a lot of hobbies, but I have like maybe spread myself a little thin in that like people are just like, oh my God, she must know everything about idols. She must know everything about this and that. And
which by the way is so broad. Saying she must know everything about idols is the same as like she must know everything about J-rock.
Yeah.
No, you don't. About punk music. No, like that's a really broad genre, you guys.
And it makes me nervous when people are like, do you know this and that? And I'm like, oh, no, I don't. And they're like, oh, are you really into idols? Wow, fake fan. Like, what? You know, like it just makes me nervous that people are like.
I know I'm saying that, but yes, way. I believe it. Oh.
Yeah, I don't know. Not that it's happened before, but I'm just kind of like, I know.
It's happening
every day to her. What's the word? A jack of all trades, but a master of none in terms
of my jackass,
knowledge.
As they say.
I'm a jackass of all trades, but a master ass of none.
I'm sorry. I don't know why that got me so good.
Yeah.
I'm so giggly today. I'm sorry.
You are.
It's because I walked my demons in the sun. I'm telling you.
What does that mean?
It means I go for a walk. Uh-huh. And it's sunny. So the demons inside, like, you know the TikTok meme of like, I don't want to do this, but the parasites inside me want to do this. Like, the demons inside me, they need, you know, satiating.
Okay.
I don't have a secret husband at the moment. I ate my last one. So the sun is the next best thing.
I'm sure you have a lot of momos lining up.
Yeah, but I don't legally disclose eating momos. Because I don't want to stir panic and dissonance among them.
It's not a Momo thing. It's a husband thing.
Oh, could a Momo be a husband? Yeah, absolutely. Or a wife. I'm kind of saving myself for Zentrea though.
Oh.
I'm trying to be.
Okay.
Yeah.
Faithful.
Because I don't think I can eat her.
Is Zentrea saving herself for you?
Ha 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 ha
I think I just touched a touchy subject right then. Oops.
Yesterday, on her birthday, I told her I love her, and she goes, "I love all you girls so much." She said, "I'm a good friend and coworker," but she didn't add "and." How do you think she feels about me?
Oh, I just had a flashback to every time that has happened in a game or an anime. Like.
But she did say she's going to hit me up for a drink soon, which means we're going to get together in Discord and drink. So wow. I think she's like kind of leaving her options. I think she's kind of like breadcrumbing me a little bit, you know? She's okay. Like, "You're such a good friend and coworker, but Friday night when I'm alone, you want to get drunk together?" Am I crazy for this?
I think you might be reading into it. I don't think she's leading you on. I think you're just delusional.
Delulu is the Salulu.
So true, so true.
Before we jump off of this topic, is there any other thing we want to add to burnout and creative work? Walk your demons in the sun. That's I just remember what I was going to say when we did the Pinocchio tangent.
Oh, okay. She's getting married.
Oh my God. What?
You said, "Remember, if it's important, you'll remember it before your wedding day."
Oh, that's good. Yes, I'm getting married with Zen.
You sounded so concerned. You were like, "What do you mean?"
I get my best. Every time I'm burned out and I feel uncreative and all that stuff, burned out is a big word, tired. I will then take a bath or go to bed. Or go for a walk, and suddenly, million ideas. Sometimes you need to close your computer and do something else. Like, let's say you just open up a video game. Suddenly, a million ideas. I don't know what it is about you kind of have to. I feel like it's a little bit like a cat, where the moment you ignore it, it's like, "Oh, I want your affection. I want your love. I want your cuddles."
I get what you mean. For me, it's just... kind of consuming a different type of, I guess, media or something. Like, I get my best ideas when I'm not thinking about the thing that I'm supposed to be thinking about. So if I'm just like, you know, it's kind of just like when you're trying to force an idea, it won't come to you. But if you're just like, okay, I'm distracting myself, I'm doing something else, I'm playing a game, I'm watching TikTok, I'm doing whatever, then something will come to me and I'll be like, "Oh, okay, now maybe I can start getting the ball rolling." And you know, sometimes getting out of burnout can be really hard. You know, you're going to be in that rut, you're going to be like feeling like, "Oh, will I ever be happy again?"
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, little steps. And just trying to change up your routine as much as you can. Mm-hmm. Even if it's just like, you know, every day.
Get a coffee at a new place.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
I said it first. You suck.
Stop taking my ideas.
You suck and you're small.
L plus small plus ratio.
Oh my God, I'm in a mood today. I love it.
But yeah, no, it's exactly that though. Try a different restaurant. Like, go to a place that you're just like, "You know what? I've passed by this place every day on my way home from work."
Text your ex-husband.
Unless they're dead because you ate them.
No, I'm sorry. That, you know, those funny memes is like, text your ex.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God. No, for some reason I thought of that, like that JoJo Siwa, like,
"Karma's a bitch." No,
there was like a clip going viral of her going like, "Dream guest on a podcast."
Let's spice things up
a little.
My ex. Yeah. Okay, maybe do not call an ex or an ex friend and get into a fight. Don't do that. That is
get
not
in a
the
fight
kind of
with
action.
A stranger. Go to a bar and just beat. that one up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shake it up a little.
Seriously, though, sometimes just going to another coffee shop can just change your ideas so much. And you can fight new people to fight.
Find new people to fight. So true. Yeah.
We're sorry that today it's been a little all over the place and we're a little tangenty, but
I think we kept on it a lot. It's not worse than
usual.
I don't know. Yeah. No worse than usual. That's so true. No, I think we stayed on it from the beginning and then we kind of tangented it a little in the center.
You know,
and then,
that's the problem. We didn't start off tangenting. And then jumped into topic.
You're right.
We jumped into topic immediately and then we tangented. We hope you feel better. And if you have any more questions or stuff like that, talk to us about it. We're sorry if this does not apply to you.
Sorry. But, it's so funny that you're like, I hope you feel better, as if everybody listening was just feel feel better. Hope your life stops sucking soon.
You know what this reminds
you listening right now?
You know those influencers who are like, everyone's been asking about my skincare routine, so let me tell you, and it's nobody's asking, you're just doing this for the video. So I'm here being like, so everyone's been asking what I do to not be burned out. So we decided to share our tips and tricks. 5 tips and tricks to not be burned out. Number 1, walk your demons in the sun. Number 2, pick a fight with your short friend. Number 3, kick your short friend.
It's like too many things involving the short friend. Hopefully, you know, maybe if you're not burnt out right now, maybe in the future you will be. Stop laughing. We have to end so I can go stream.
Maybe if you're not burnt out right now.
How is that the funny part?
Because you were like.
I'm so confused.
I thought you were going to be like, maybe if you're not burnt out right now, you could be in the future.
So you're laughing at something I didn't even say. You're laughing at something you made up in your brain. Oh my God. Okay. Well, everybody,
everyone.
Our patrons.
Thank you so much, our patrons.
Thank you
for supporting us. But did you all think it was funny where it's like, you know, hey guys, you might not be burned out now, but it's coming. It's coming for all of you.
I didn't even say that.
Go pick a fight with a stranger right now or you're going to get burned out.
Death will come for us all, just like burnout.
Death taxes VTubers and burnout.
But yeah, thank you, patrons. Thank you, patrons.
What is going to be the word today, the special word?
You decided. I decided last time, I think.
Do people know how to spell Pinocchio?
Oh.
Do your best without Googling how to spell Pinocchio. Just try to add Pinocchio into a sentence, but don't Google it.
Just do
what you think is the best.
Oh, you know how people have like those, what's it
autocorrect?
Called?
Don't use autocorrect.
No. It's just like everything but the correct answer, you know, like wrong answers only.
Spell Pinocchio, but
wrong answers only.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for another episode. And you know, I don't want to get too ahead of ourselves, but we're cooking up some. The second part of this podcast is when all the stuff is happening. So,
yeah,
I'm excited.
Exciting things, big things coming.
Big things coming. TM.
TM.
I go to jail for kicking myself.
That'll be the finale. That's why. That's why we have to end the podcast.
Bye.